Help. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you've done already in the meeting. We could dismiss right now, but we're not. So, Father, we just thank you for the word of the Lord. Let it come in boldness and power. And we thank you, Father, for the results in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Talking to you today about Jesus is restoring your years. All right? Wow. He's not making you younger, but how many know that, you know, he can restore things that have been stolen from you? He can give you great health as you get older, praise the Lord, so you don't look your age, right? And how many vote for that? You say, I'm for that. Okay. So let's go ahead and look at that scripture. This is from Acts 3, 19 through 21. This is going to be our foundational scripture. Peter is standing before a great multitude of people in Jerusalem several days after Jesus had raised from the dead. And he said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that you're," because they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven," this is very important, "whom heaven must receive," until, say until, "the times of restoration," which we're in now, "the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." So that's our key scripture today. And we're gonna launch it. Let's look at a few things here. Number one, if you're new, I like to give you a sheet of paper so you can take notes and you'll be able to take it home. All right, number one, Jesus is our restoration. Restoration is not just a doctrine, it's a person. Isn't that right? Jesus is our restoration. I honestly believe you can really physically many, many times tell if a person's a believer or not just by looking at them. They have joy in their face. They have peace, you know. They don't have a face that's crinkled up all the time, like they're worried and, you know. But God, I believe, will do that. He'll restore our youth as the eagles, the Bible says. He will restore your youth as the eagles. Glory to God. I'm saying we're going to look like an eagle, but we're going to restore that youth. Jesus is our restoration, and it always gives us more. This restoration always gives us more than we ever had. Amen. Let's look at Job 42:10. By the way, before I get into this verse, turn to your neighbor and say, "You have to forgive." This is probably the other than being saved, this is the one key thing that we have to be able to do. "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends." They ought to put the friends in quotes. You know, how many know these guys weren't exactly friends? You know, but they thought they were anyway. But this is powerful. "The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends." Indeed, that means you can bank on it. "The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Wow. See, and God will do that for you. And then in the next verses, it tells about he lost all his sons. I think he had something like 7 sons or something. He lost them all initially. That means he got 14 back. And you can multiply it right down the line. Okay, so whatever it is that has been stolen from you, if an individual has done something to you, forgive them. You know, I mean, Ann and I are living examples of this. We forgave this one guy who was a real thorn in our flesh. God said, "Go down and bless him." And so I did. I went down and I said, "Sir, Mark," I said, "I forgive you." This is not in this church. This is down in Louisiana. I said, "I forgive you for all the things. Would you forgive me?" And he said, I don't really have anything to forgive you about. I said, "Can I pray for your finances and your business?" He said, "Yes." I prayed for him. I got a letter back several weeks later, a long letter, and he said, "I was what you didn't know, I was ready to go bankrupt. And he said, I had the papers drawn up, and he said, I think I would have gone bankrupt had you not come there and prayed for me that day. And he said, now God has restored me so much that, he said, I don't have to close my business down, and it's twice as better as it was before. Oh, see, how many know this works? Tell your neighbor, this works. All right. So, we are moving into a season of refreshing and renewal. Can we say amen to that? Our country is very divided, but politics cannot restore, only Jesus. Isn't that right? Boy, wouldn't that be something if all of a sudden, you know, God poured his spirit out on the Senate, and here's the Dems and the Republicans breaking bread together and having communion. Huh? Boy, you know revival's coming, baby. Well, how many know nothing is impossible for God, right? Lord, do that for us. I hadn't intended to say that. So go ahead. How many vote? You're okay with that? Boy, we need that in this country. Whew. Okay. Number two, in order to change our nation, God is restoring the church. How many know it starts with us? Tell your neighbor, it starts with you. God is restoring the church to the place of his glory. This is why there has been the shaking. Let's look at this, Hebrews 12, 27 and 28. God says, now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of the things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. What are those things? Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. How many of you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you have the kingdom of God on the inside of you? Right? Jesus said that when you got saved, the kingdom through the Holy Ghost came inside of you. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. How many know it takes a lot of grace to forgive somebody who's really hurt you, especially if they've done it over and over again, right? So I forgave this guy, Mark. This is in the beginning of, May of 1996. And I went across the country. God began to open doors for Ian and I to go speak. I was in over 70 churches in 1 year. God, we were doing prophetic, and we were doing teaching. Bless you. We were doing a lot of different ministries. The last church I was in was a place called Carthage, Illinois, and we were doing prophetic ministry there. And at the end of the meeting, this guy came walking up to me. He's one of the elders. He said, Pastor Dave, this just hit me, even though you weren't talking about it. He said, I believe there's a person that you know of right now that you need to forgive and release. Then he said, you probably have already done it, but he needs to know he's forgiven. Wow. I said, describe him, please. Obviously, God gave you a vision of who. And he describes the guy. I said, it's exactly who I was thinking of. So I had him share that with Ina. So we went and we blessed this man and his wife. And then we left. And right after that, God opened the door for us to come here. Just all the, everything just was in sync for us to come here. That's a whole story in itself. But how many know, when you do things God's way, you get God's results? Praise God. All right. So in order to change our nation, God is restoring the church to the place of his glory. That's why the shaking. Now let's look at the second group of scriptures here, getting our priorities in order. Let's look at Amos 9, 11 through 13. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. That's the church, by the way. That's a whole teaching in itself, but that's the church, which has fallen down, and repair its damages, and will raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. That means, you know, the Gentiles, the people who are not saved, all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who is doing this thing. So there are people out there that have already been called by his name that need to get saved. But you know how they're going to do it? Through you. You say, well, how do I do it, Petey? Ask God for a time to share your testimony. How many know your testimony is powerful? People don't want to hear religion, but they want to hear, If God's real, what has He done for you? And then you tell them, they go, whoa, I want that. How can I get that? And then you can tell them how to do it. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when this is going to happen so fast. I believe we're moving into a time like this. Now, we use this verse for finances when we bring our tithes and offerings. But I believe it's much deeper than that. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. In other words, people are going to get saved so quickly, it's just like, whoa, what's going on here? You save, then you fill with the Holy Ghost, then you're going out winning souls. How many know we're coming into those days? How do you know? The Word tells us. And then he says, the mountains will drip with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. In other words, be a time of great joy. Say, bring it, Lord. All right. Number three, Jesus is restoring not just a doctrine to the church, but for us to be individually restored. God wants to individually restore things that have been stolen from us. How is He going to do this? All right, we're going to look at this. Remember, Jesus is the restorer. He's the one that brings restoration. It's not a doctrine, it's a person, okay? And He's working in your life. How can He restore, here's the fill-in, dead things? How does He restore dead things back to life if it will help us? I believe that Jesus is the key to our understanding of how this restoration is going to take place. Let's look at the scripture there. Now it happened the day after that he, meaning Christ, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother. I mean, no, Jesus knew that. They didn't come running to him and tell him that. He knew it because he was God, but he also had revelation from the Holy Spirit. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. How many are glad he's had compassion on you? Amen. He had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. That means he's going to do something. Then he came and he touched the open coffin. Ooh, Jesus. How many are ready to see this kind of thing happen? Yes. He touched the open coffin and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Whoa. And presented him to his mother. See, Jesus knew this widow had no recourse. She had nobody else but her son. And he was a viable age to work, right? Jesus knew all that because he was son of man, he's also son of God. And he spoke the word, and now this lady, this dear lady, could have her finances restored. She would have a good ending to her life. How many know God wants that for people? He does. He does. Absolutely does. You know? So, the first thing says, he can restore dead things back to life, right? We had a funeral yesterday for Doug Snow. Doug has been here, I guess, for 12, 13 years. His wife, Juanita, did great work in the children's church, still using her materials. We thought we might see her today. But she's been really at home, homebound with Doug because of his illness. And now he's with Jesus. And but you know what? I didn't know this until a few days before that. Doug Snow died 20 years ago. He died 20 years ago, and he stood before Jesus. And Jesus gave him a choice. He said, you can stay or you can go back. And he chose to go back so he could be with his wife, and she was not ready for him to leave at that time. And you know what? He restored his health until it was time for him to really go home. How many know what a God we serve, isn't that right? Wow. Mighty, mighty, mighty God. Listen, people that think that he is callous or hard, or Man, they're probably looking at some uncle or even father-in-law or something that they, you know, well, maybe that's what he's like. No, he's a wonderful, awesome God that if you're in his presence, you'll melt like butter. I mean, seriously, in a good way. You can't stand in God's presence and not be touched, not be changed. So, you know, another thought I had, how many know marriages can be dead things too? How many are ready for just a cool, cool story of restoration? All right. This is back in our days in New Orleans, Word of Faith, and we had this young mother and her son was around, I guess, 11, 12 years old. They started coming to our church in New Orleans. The young man got saved. Not only got saved, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the father had not been coming, and then eventually divorced her, just simply because he wanted out of the marriage. But you know, this young man continued to pray, not only for his father to be saved, but for the marriage to be restored. And he just said, he told his teachers, I am not ready to allow my parents to break up like this. And God put a spiritual violence in him, but a great love for his father as well as mother. And so he began to intercede for his parents to be restored. The wife, the mother, was willing, but the husband wasn't. And so one day, when the father was having his visitation and took the young man out, they went out to lunch, and this young man, filled with the Holy Ghost, I guess he's about 13, 14, something like that at that time, began to really witness to his father, broke down, wept, got right through to his father. His father surrendered his heart to Christ. Not only that, he began to come back to church. And this is so cool. The time came. Because I remember Ina was on the organ, and I think I was helping do the marriage or whatever. Remarriage. But they got remarried. And here comes the mother. Help me to hold it together, Lord. This is... Here comes the mother and the son, and he's walking her down the aisle. I mean, all things are possible with God. I mean, just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it can't happen. Lean over and tell your neighbor, this is going to happen through you. God's going to use you to restore people. I don't know if it'd be as dramatic as that, but he's going to use you. The next bullet point, he sees our faith. He sees our faith. Are we determined to receive our restoration? How many know you've got to have some violence in your heart? We ought not to just read Scripture and let it just stick in our minds, but let it get down into our heart and our gut, our innermost being, our bellies, you know, where the Holy Ghost flows from. It needs to get in our heart, deep in our hearts. And I got a story for that one too, but let's read this. Are we determined to receive our restoration? Let's look at Mark 5, 25 through 29. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. Now, we're not going to ask for testimonies here. We'll just move on, all right? She had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Whoa, that won't make TV. All right. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, but you know, she took her life in her hands because under the law, she could have been stoned, right? She said, if only, say if only. See, she's putting forth the perimeters of her faith, right? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she put her life in her hands going and doing that because she could have been stoned to death under the law because of the issue. Immediately, I love that word, Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. How many know God can do it immediately for you? Back in the heyday, how many of you were alive and you remember the AIDS epidemic, how bad it was? You know, late 80s, early 90s and stuff like that. And, I mean, man, nobody came to church with AIDS. They probably should have, but maybe those churches didn't believe in healing, you know? So I'm at the altar, myself and another guy, we're at the altar, and it would turn out to be a grandmother. She came in with her little baby grandson. And she said, this child is an AIDS baby because of the parents. And I know I'm taking a big chance to bring this baby here. But would you two men pray for her? We didn't hear of any testimonies of AIDS healings, right? But here's this dear lady who was willing to chance it, you know. She could have been, you know, maybe she'd be in another church. Some of them say, get out of here. You know, you're putting our lives in danger. So we anointed this little baby. I mean, it's just a little baby, like the little baby was here. And she thanked us and everything. We said, oh, God bless you. Well, I don't know how long it was afterwards, maybe 6-7 weeks or whatever. And she came back and she said, I want you to know the baby's healed. And no more, no trace of AIDS. Well, I thought that was impossible. I thought medicines and doctors. Well, how many know Dr. Jesus can take care of it? But you got to know that, see? You can have violence in your heart in a good way. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. You know what that means? I'm not going to take no for an answer. They don't like it, too bad. I'm going to cop an attitude here. Holy Ghost attitude. I'm not going to cuss you out, but I'm going to stand my ground. Praise the Lord. All right. So that's where we have to come. We have to come to that place. And then he restores our finances. Oh, everybody said, yeah, baby. All right. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, 4 through 8. Now, this verse became very strong, but I'm going to read it and then give you the setting. When he had stopped speaking, meaning Jesus, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Notice he said nets. All right. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, like, you're not a fisherman. What do you know, right? Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Now, it's daytime and we're not supposed to catch anything in the day like we could at night. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said nets. He said net. That was where his faith was. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats. Wow. So that they began to sink. Ah. How many know God's not chintzy? He wants to pile it on you. Lean over and tell your neighbor, I hope you're getting this. He wants to pile it on you. All right? And they came and filled both the boats that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, yeah, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Well, I'm praying. This is 1982. We have a little house in New Orleans, and Christmas is coming. And my mom had just moved into the area. We had her set up in an apartment, and she was going to be with us, but we wanted her to be with us for Christmas dinner. And we spent a lot of time, of course, with my mom. And so my dad had died, and so she moved down here to be with us in New Orleans. And I said, Lord, I really want to have a really nice Christmas meal. We can get all the trimmings and have money left over to bless her. And then I got quiet. I said, Holy Spirit, how do you want to do this? Say, that's the way to do it. Don't try to sit down and cook up something. Right? Sit down and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. Listen, buddy, I have seen so many miracles, you wouldn't believe it through the years. I've written books, these small books, but I'm telling you, the half has not been told. But you know what? My attitude was, I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. You know what you're doing, so what do I do? And then I'll do it. And so he said, I said, I want a really good Christmas for her, for my family. So what do I do? He said, how much you got in your checking account? I said, I got a little over $200. He said, that's the amount that I was thinking of. Would he do that? Well, if you know him. So I said, okay. But see, I didn't have any fear because he spoke to me. You know, when the word of the Lord comes to you, it brings light into your spirit, and you know that you know that you know. So you're not wringing your hands, you know, and getting rid of all the flypaper. You're not worried about that, right? Because you know. And so I wrote check out. Where do I give it? Told me, okay, here, give it. And I will say this to you. Because I really wanted to find out. We had over $1,800 come back to us within just a really short period of time. So we had a nice turkey and even dressing and cranberries and and all the good stuff, right? But how many know, people say, well, God won't do it for you. Well, if you say he won't. But how many know he's crazy about you? How many know he loves you like crazy? He does. He wants, tell your neighbor he really wants to do this for you. And don't worry, I'm not going to take an offering, okay? Yeah. And then we are to be for signs. I love the scripture. Oh, my gosh. We are to be for signs and wonders of his restoration. Woo! Isaiah 8:18. Let's look at this. Here am I. Now, this is prophetic of Christ. Here am I and the children, that's you, whom the Lord has given me. We are for, listen to this, we are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Church is the Israel of God, Galatians, who dwells in Mount Zion. I want you to tell the person next to you, you are set to be a sign and a wonder. Absolutely. You are set to be a sign and a wonder. When we were doing, this is so cool, when we were doing a lot of outreach a couple years ago, we would go almost every Sunday, and we would take little cards with us, and we'd go to the people that the Holy Spirit would lead us to go to, or the places that God would lead us to go to, and we'd write out, we had a little form and we'd write it out, and on this one Sunday, when I was in prayer, the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to go to the museum park, right up here. There's a young couple," and he said, "Here's how you're going to know them." I needed to know that because I needed to write it down. And he said, they're both blondes, husband and wife. They have a financial need. And he said, here's how you can know them. They have yellow T-shirts and khaki shorts, both of them. So they're dressed alike. So I went into the museum. There's nobody in the museum. I walk out of the museum, and I look up the trail, and there they are coming toward me. Well, I had my card, right? So I went up to them. I said, can I talk to you guys a minute? And I shared with them what the Holy Spirit had given me. I showed them. I said, I didn't write this down 15 minutes ago. I said, this is the time that the Holy Spirit gave me. I was on the clock a good hour or more before I ever came here. So I wrote it down so you can see it. And I said, is it true that you need finances? And they said, yes. He said, my wife has got a lot of educational debt. And it's really been weighing on us. And I said, are you from this area? They said, no, we've never been to Raleigh. We came here for the first time today to this park. I went, okay. I said, you see, that ought to give you great faith to know God already knew your condition. I said, are you guys Christians? Yes, we are. I said, are you ready to receive? Yes, we are. So we had a little prayer meeting right there. See, that kind of stuff will pump you up. But guess what? You can do that. But we're not doing that in the church. So what? You can do it by yourself. Get a partner. Get somebody else, husband, wife. Seek him. He will speak to you. I mean, that's the way to do it, man. I'm serious. And we saw a lot of that kind of thing happen. So, in the Passion Translation of the Bible, Psalm 34:14. If you have it, there we go. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everybody. If you can. All right. So, I say here, in the Passion Translation of the Bible, which we just read, says the word for peace is, and this is going to really pump you up here just a minute. The word for peace in Hebrew is shalom, and many of you know that. And we say that to one another. And it means wholeness, well-being, happy, friendly, favor, to prosper, at rest. How many vote for those things? That's all right. And when we receive Christ, we have that shalom peace on the inside. Now the root, this is, boy, when I saw this, I started shouting. The root word for shalom is shalom, which means to restore. Let that sink in for a little bit. Wow. My question to you is, what do you need restored? Altar team, come on down. What do you need restored? It can be anything. I wanted to get your faith built up, not only from the Word, but also from testimonies, okay? And think about it. Do you need your health restored? Do you need your finances restored? You need relationships restored? We all, at one time or other, need something restored in our lives. And so I always believe this, strike while the iron's hot. Okay, you've heard the Word. God is faithful to His Word, right? He even says, I put my Word above my name. Wow. Man. Okay. So, altar team is going to get